Okay, we are on the top line of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. The yesterday there was we were in the middle of a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda about whether or not a shtar chov is mutter to carry. Can you take it out or not? Whether or not it has value. Tanakhama said you can carry it out because it has no value, and Rabbi Yehuda said you cannot because it does have value. And we had two explanations to that machlokas. Why they hold the way they do. First, we had Rabbi Yosef, who said they're arguing about whether or not it's mutter to keep a shtar that's been paid back. So according to Tanakhama, it's not mutter, so therefore it's not worth anything. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you can keep such a shtar, so you can, it's mutter, so you can carry it. So you are also, you're not allowed to carry it out. Then we had the opinion of Abaya, who said that the machlokas is whether a guy will say, I that's true, that's a true shtar, it's not a forgery. I did borrow the money, however I paid it back. Oh, good morning. But the only question is whether if you say that, does the other side, does the lender then have to be Makai in the shtar? So according to Rabbi Yossi, according to the Tanakhama, he does not have to be Makai in the shtar. Therefore, I'm sorry, he does have to be Makai of the shtar. Yeah, and he can't in this case, therefore the shtar is worthless because he can't collect. And according to Yehuda, no, he doesn't have to be Makai of the shtar, therefore it's a valid shtar, therefore he has to pay on that shtar, therefore the shtar has value. And we said that was a little funny, Lashon, how we fit that into the original Braitha, because you have to stick in the words that he claims, right? You have to stick in those words in. And what I think the Ritvot says, that's why Rava doesn't like Abaya, because you have to stick in words. So now we'll come to the third explanation of what this machlokas is about. Top line, Ayin Tes Amud Aleph. Rav Amar, Rav says, the Kuli Alma, everybody holds, Moda B'Shtar Shekasvu Shetarach L'Kaimo. Everybody holds that if you have a shtar, and the guy admits to the shtar, he says, yes, that is a genuine shtar, however, it happens to be, I paid it back already. If a guy says that, then the lender has to be Mekayim such a shtar. And everyone agrees to that, and the Braitha Rashi says it's mamish. The words are mamish. The words mean paid back. He didn't pay back. But v'hacha over here, b'kosvin shover kamiflagi. We're arguing about a case whether or not the lender can write a receipt. Whether he can write a receipt. The Tanakhama savar kosvin shover. The Tanakhama holds he can write a receipt. Since he can write a receipt, the shtar is worthless. Because he'll write a receipt. And Rashi explains, the case is that the lender, the borrower paid the money back, and the borrower said to the lender, by the way, give me that shtar back, or give me a receipt. So the lender said, fine, no problem, I'll give you the shtar, I don't have it right now, I owe you the receipt. Fine. So since that's true, the shtar becomes worthless, because he'll just give him a receipt. Therefore, you can carry it out, because it's not worth anything. And Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ain kosvin shover. You don't write a shover. Therefore, the shtar is still valid. Why? Because until the lender gets it back, until the borrower gets it back, he's saying, the money I gave you, if you don't give me back the shtar, I'm going to get the money back from you. Because there's no receipt. The only way there's going to be proof that I paid back this loan is if you give me the shtar back so I can go rip it up. Without that, I'd never be able to prove that you're going to collect again from me. So therefore, the shtar has value. Until he gives it back to the lender can rip it up. Therefore, you chayav if you carry such a shtar out. Rabbi Ashi has a fourth reason to explain the difference between the two shitos, what's behind Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama, and he says, Mibnei shetzaruch laharoso labal chov sheni. Here it's the borrower now. The borrower wants to carry this out to show it out to other people. Look at me. I'm the guy who pays back my loans. I'm an honest man. Lend me money. I borrowed from him and I paid him back. I got a shtar to prove it. So it disvalued to holding on to this shtar. According to the Tanakhama, this is no such Indian. That's just to show that you're not, just to help your credit. That's not such an Indian. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, that's a very important Indian. Therefore, the shtar has chashivas. And therefore, if you carry out such a shtar, you are chayef. That ends that Gemara. Fine. The next Braisa had said, or if someone carries out leather, kedelasos kimeya, the shear the amount of lead that you have to carry out is enough for a kameya. We said it's a machlokas. Is it the amount that you write a kameya, the actual text of the kameya is going to be on this piece of leather, or the leather is being used to wrap up whatever else is inside. Either it's other star, other writings, other incantations, or herbs. Either way, it's the same shear. So, boy, mine Rav Meir of Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman, hamotzi or bekama. If someone carries out leather, how much leather do you have to carry out in order to make you chayiv? So Rashi explains, every Amor knew every Mishnah. That's a given that applies throughout Shas. So what's Rav asking? It's a Beferish Mishnah. So Rashi says, yeah, Rav knew it was a Beferish Mishnah, and he asked it to introduce the following questions that are going to be coming. It's like, you know, I'll ask this, that's easy, that I know, fine. And then I'll ask things that are not so easy. So it was just an introductory question. And he knew the answer. Amalei, so he answered it back, kizit nan, like it says in our Mishnah. Or, leather, kidilasos kimeya. The amount that you chayev to make a kimeya. That's pashut. Now, the parentheses, we can learn it, we cannot learn it. But Rashi says, Mishum the boy limi boy mine hanach, since he wanted to ask the following, boy akhrinaisa, boy mine ha. He asked this too. Even though it's a Mishnah. Right? He's leading up to the question, so he asked the easy one first, even though he knew the answer. So now the parentheses say, Hamabdo Bakama. This is an unrelated question. If somebody wants to be over the Avera of tanning on Shabbos, how much leather do you have to tan? Amalei loshna, the same size. So different. Now, le'abdo, if you're carrying out leather that has not yet been tanned, untanned leather, so is the shear different? So that's Rava's question. Le'abdo bikama, if it's not yet tanned, but it's going to be tanned one day. Amalei, again, loshna. It's no different. Just because it's not finished product yet, it's the same shear. So the Gemara says, Uminot Timra, where did he get that from? That if it's the same shear, because it's going to be tanned, Ditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, Hamalabein, if somebody whitens the Hamanathates, and somebody combs the cotton, the Hatzoveya, and someone dyes it, the Hatova, and someone spins it, this is all to get the material, all to get cloth, Shi'uro, the shear of all that is, Kimole Rochav Hasit, it's the width of a sit. A sit is the distance between your index finger and your middle finger. The distance in between the two fingers, that distance is called a sit. And kafel, it's double that size. So however big a sit is, double that. That is the shear for all these malachos. But oreg beis chutin, and if somebody sews two chutin, two strings, shi'uro kemole rochav sehasit. The shear is the amount that it takes to the width of that amount. So what do you see from here? Alma, since kivon dila tavia koi, all these things are leading up to the malacha of spinning. They have no inherent, I mean, they have an inherent value in other contexts. But here, what are you washing? What are you dyeing? What are you doing all this for to the cotton? Because you want to get to the wool, whatever. Because you want to get to spinning it. You want to make thread out of it. So what do you see? That even though all these are so to speak, unfinished products, they're raw products, nevertheless, since your goal is to get to spinning, shiura kitavui. The shear is all the same. The shear is all based on spinning. So what do you see? That unfinished products have the same halacha as finished products. Hachanami, here too. Kivon de la abdo koi, since you're going to tan this piece of leather, shi'uro kima ubod, the shear is as if the same shear that would be if it was already tanned. That's what he told him. There's no difference. And now we're going to spend the next, till the end of the Amid really, asking a question on this principle. That why is it really true that an unfinished product has the same shear as a finished product? That's going to be till two dots from the bottom. So before we say that, he asks one more question. V'shalo la'abdo bekama, and if you're never going to tan this product, or it's not ready to be tanned right now, how much? What's the shear then? Amalesa, again, he told him Loshna. There's no difference. Because this ultimately can be used for tanning, even though your kavana might be different, no, there's no difference. So now the Gemara says, V'lo shoni bein mu'ubad l'she'eno mu'ubad. There's no difference in shear between something that will be tanned and something that won't be, meaning the unfinished and the finished have the same shear. Eisvei, but let's do a question. Hamotzi samanin, if somebody takes out dyes, right, that shiruyin, they've already been soaked, meaning they're already finished products as dyes. What's the shear? The shear is enough dye kedei litzvoa bohen dugma li'ira. It's enough dye to dye the swatch. A dugma is an example. It's a swatch which will be used to cover a weaver's weave. That's the shear. The ilu besamonim she'ein on shiruyin. But if the dyes are not finished products, meaning they're not soaked yet, so they're not finished dyes, then what's the shear? Tanan, we learned. Klipe gozim, the shells of nuts. The klipe rimonim, and the shells of rimonim, or pomegranates. Satis upua. Satis upua are two products, two vegetables, two grains, whatever, grow from the ground, that you make into dye. But they're not finished yet. They're raw products that you're going to make into dyes. What's the shear? Kedei litzvoa behen beged katan. The amount of dye to make it into a beged katan, to dye a beged katan, a small beged, lefi tzvacha, for a hat, for a woman's hat, Rashi says. And it's a bigger shear. Why is it a bigger shear? Because it's less chashuv. So you need more of it to make you chayef. So what do you see from here? There's a big difference between finished product and unfinished product. Finished product is a smaller shear, the amount to cover a weaver's utensil. And for an unfinished dye, it's the amount to color a woman's hat, which is a larger shear. Again, if it's less chashuv, you need more of it to make you chayev. So you see here that there's a difference between the two dyes. So what, isn't it? So you're wrong. That's the question. So how could you say that the difference between tanned and untanned hides is the same? It's not true. So the Gemara answers, Ha'if Mar Allah, we already interpreted that whole discussion to be as follows. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, why is there two different shiurim? Lefisha ein adam torach lishros samanim. Nobody's going to go out of his way to dye dyes, litzvo behen ledugmo le'ira, just for the purpose of dyeing the dyes, to be able to color the swatch for the to cover over a weaver's loom, a weaver's utensil. No one's going to do that. Therefore, you can't compare the two because they're not comparable. No one's ever going to carry them out. And Rashi explains, but somebody will carry out an untanned hide to make it into a kebaya. So for hides, they're the same. It's the same shear because it's the same use. But here, the use is entirely different. See, it's apples and oranges. So you can't bring this as a raya to what the din would be by hide. Dyes are entirely different. Nobody's carrying out hides. Nobody's carrying out dyes to make them into these materials. It's too small. No one's going to bother. Therefore, 100%, you need a larger shear. But by hides, people will do it. Has chashivas at that size, even if it's untanned. Therefore, you can't compare the two. So we're left with our principle that the hides are different. Now, fine. So the Gemara has another problem. But wait a minute. Vaharei zerone gina. What about garden seeds? Seeds that you're going to plant in the garden. So, dimakame dizar inhu. Before they're planted, before you put them in the garden, tanan we learned, zerone gina. How many seeds do you have to carry out? Pachos miki grogeris. Whatever it is, it's less than a grogeris. That's going to make you chayiv. Five seeds is the amount, right? Five seeds is less than a, whatever it is, it's less than a grogeris, Rashi says, but you have five seeds, so it's a very small number. But the ilu basar dizarinhu, but once he's already planted that seed and it's taken root, the chashivas of the seeds change. Why? Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah, zebel, if somebody carries out fertilizer, or v'chol hadak, or soft, thin sand, which is also going to be used for fertilizer. Kedei lezabel bo kelach shel kruv, to fertilize one stalk of cabbage. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, v'cham omrim kedei lezabel krisha, one leek, one leek a stalk. So you see over here that there's a big difference between before it's finished, meaning when it's just a seed, right? When it's just a seed, you have to carry out five of them. But when it's after you seed it, then it's already considered, so to speak, a finished product. The chashivas becomes different. And now even one stalk, one seed, is enough to give it chashivas that you chayav for carrying out other things for it. So you see again, there's a difference between unfinished and finished. So the Gemara says, again, the same answer. Ho'idmar Allah, we already learned regarding this distinction. Amr of Papa, ha'dizriya, ha'dilozriya. It makes a difference if it was planted or not. If it was planted, you're right. It has a different chashivas because it's an entirely different animal. So you can't compare the two. You can't, well, how come this is before? Yeah, one's planted and one's not planted. Once it's planted, the chashivas is so different. And the Gemara says one more line. L'fisha ein adam torach lahotzi nima achas l'zriya. Nobody's carrying out one seed to go plant it. Such a small amount. So of course you have to take out more to be chayiv. But once it's already planted, that's a whole different world. Once it's already planted, of course, one stalk is chashivas. Therefore, you can't compare the two. But again, but by hides, somebody will carry out less than a very small amount just to use it for a kameya. A person will do that. Therefore, the shear of untanned and tanned is the same shear because it's the same pa'ula. Few more. This is from yesterday. The hare tit. What about? Isn't clay going to be a question? Why? The mekame delegale. Before it was needed. Before you needed clay. Tanya, we learned. Modu chacham l'Rav Shimon b'motzi shofkin l'Rav Shasarabim. That the chachamim agree to Rav Shimon. That if you carry out dirty water, used water already, that the shear is l'shashior and b'revius. That the shear is a revius. And we asked yesterday or the day before, shofkin l'may chazu. What are you doing with used water? What are you doing with used? It's used already. What are you doing with such water? You're using it to knead the clay. Why? Because you could use water to knead clay. After it's been kneaded already, Tanya, we learned, that once it's been kneaded already, then it's a very small amount. It's the amount that you use for the opening of the furnace, the opening of the mouth of the furnace, where you're going to stoke up the coals, or where you're going to put the bellows in. Either way, it's a very small shear. So again, you see that there's a different shear between unneeded and needed, the different shear between finished product and unfinished product. So the Gemara says, but the same answer. Hasanami kid amaron. We answered that yesterday. Nobody's carrying out such a small amount of clay and water to knead that, to make that for the opening. Nobody's carrying out such a tiny amount. Yeah, before you, right, we said yesterday, right? So a guy's going to take water and he'll use the extra water for other things. Because nobody's carrying out such a small amount. So of course the shears are different, because the people's nature in use of this is different. But again, by hides, there is no difference. People will carry out an untanned hide just like they'll carry out a tanned hide. So if the people are going to use it in the same way, then the shear is the same. So we're still left with our principle. Tashma, another try. Damar b'chiyah bar ami, mishmei du'ula. Shlosha oros hein. There are three different levels of hides. The first one is matzah. It's called matzah. Second one is chippah. And the third one is v'diftera. What's matzah? Matzah is kimashmo. Like matzah, like we know matzah. Flat, very plain leather. V'lo maliach, it's not salted. V'lo kamiach, you have a flour to it. V'lo ofitz, you didn't put gall nuts into it, which is what they would do to treat the hides, to get them ready to make them into cloth. So matzah is nothing's been done to it. Amazingly enough, the Vilna Gaon says that from this Gemara, you see, when you make matzah for Pesach, you can't put in salt. Because matzah doesn't have salt. Even though this is an entirely different matzah, he uses it as a principle. That's a big machlokas, but that's what the Vilna Gaon says from this Gemara, right here. Right, v'shiyuro, what's the shear? How much matzah, how much of this leather do you have to carry out to make you chayiv? Tani Rab Shmuel by Rav Yehuda, kedei latzerbo mashkolos kitana. The amount that you'd use to cover a small weight, that they would wrap the weights in leather to keep them preserved. Bakama, what's a small weight? Amar Abaya, revia de pumpadisa. A quarter of the weights of pumpadisa. That's the smallest weight. Rashi says that was the common weight that they used. Fine. Next. Chifa, what's that? That's demaliach. It's already been salted, so it's already a different stage. But v'lo kemiach v'lo ofetz. You haven't put any flour onto it. You haven't put any gall nuts onto it. You haven't done any other treatments to the leather. The kama shiro. What's the shear for that? Kedetnan or kedelasos kemeya. That's our mishnah. The amount that it takes to make a kemeya. The diftera. Diftera is already demaliach. It's been salted for kemiach and it's been treated already with flour. But v'lo ofetz. You haven't put any gall nuts onto that. So v'kama shiro. What's the shear for that? Kedelifto v'lovis haget. It's the amount that you have to write, that you can write a get. And Rashi says, you're not writing the whole text of a get. You're just writing his name, her name, the dates, Hariat Mugareshes Li, and the signature. It's a very small amount of space. Each one got smaller because it gets more chashuv. So, right, to hold up the weight, that's the largest amount. Then the middle amount is for the kaneya, and then the smallest amount is to write a get. As it gets more chashuv, the shurim gets smaller. Anyway, Ketani Mihas, we just said, Kedelotzer Bo Mishkolos Ketana. Right? So you see, it's a different shear than a Kameya when it's not in its full form. Right? So you see the different shears for right? Different, at the different stage of completion, there are different shears. So too, by untanned hides and tanned hides, this is actually hides. This is the same hides that we're asking on. We said if it's untanned, it's going to be the same shear as tan, but hey, it's not true. Untan is a bigger shear than tan. Untan is to hold the weight, and tan is for a kameo. So your principle is not correct. So for Amra, so the Gemara answers no. Amra Baya, Riva de Riva de Pumpadisa, that shear is Hasam de Vishula. The shear is where you have cooked the hide. Meaning it's never going to be made into a regular hide. As a matter of fact, it can't be. Because by cooking it, you're done. Once you cook it, you're done. So, he says it's not going to be hide. It's not called hide anymore. It's not the same thing as a hide that we're going to make into a kameya. Once you cook it, you're done with this hide. So it's just like apples and oranges, like we've been saying all along, and you can't compare one share to the other.
It's already finished product,
exactly. So, but by doing that, you make it a finished product. So it's not, I'm going to use it later for something else. That's it. It's done. But I bought another question. Vatnan is the last one. Vatnan, but we learned. Habeged, what's the size of a beged to make you tamei, for tamei's midras? So we said, shlosha al shlosha l'midras. 3x3 tvachim for midras. Midras means that if someone sits on something, he's an avatoma, he's a zava or a zava or a yoledes or a nida, they sit on it, and even if they don't touch it, as long as they sit on it, they're going to make that thing into an avatoma. So how big does it have to be? So if it's a beged, if it's cloth, it has to be 3 tvachim by 3 tvachim. If it's not going to be used to sit on, then it could be 3 fingers by 3 fingers. It's a tamei mate, if you touch it. We had that already. Hasak, what's the shear for sack? Dalet al dalet, 4x4. Ha'or, leather, here again, hides, what's the shear? Hey al hey. It's much bigger than making a kamei out of it. That's going to be the question. Mapats, what about mapats, which is mats? Vav al vav. And all that is bein lemidras, bein lemes. Doesn't make a difference what you're using it for. Bein lemidras, bein lemes, the shear is going to be whatever the shear is, 4x4, 5x5. V'tani Allah, and we said over there, Habeged v'hasak v'ha'or kishir l'tumah kach shir l'hotzah. The shir for tumah is the same shir as the shir for hotzah. But we just said that the shir for hotzah is to make a kameh out of it. And now you're telling me the shir for hotzah is 5x5. Rashi says, that's not the same size. So how are we going to answer that question? So the Gemara says, again, similar answer to what we said before. Hahu bikur tuvla. Here we're talking about a hide that has been boiled. And Rashi says, once it's been boiled, you don't use it for hide anymore, you use it to cover the furniture. You use it to cover the chairs and the couches. So once you use it to cover the furniture, again, it's considered finished at that moment, it's not a hide anymore, and therefore it's not a problem to what we've been saying all along. So what we've been saying all along is that there's no difference between an untanned hide and a tanned hide, that still remains. The Sfasem is just interesting. He has a question over here. He leaves it for Tzarachian. He says that the Mishnah here says, the Brisa here says, that a beged has, what's the shear of carrying out a beged? Whatever the shear is for Tumah. Right? If it's a shear for Tumah, it's a shear for carrying out. Which Tumah? Tumas Medras. Right? Whatever the shear is for sitting on it, that's the shear for carrying out. So he says, but what about the shear of beged for Tumas Mace? That's a smaller shear. So why doesn't that be mechuyav you on Shabbos to carry out that shear? We're saying here, it's three tvachim by three tvachim. That's for Tumas Medras. What about three etzbos by three etzbos? That's Tumas Mace. So if you carry that out, you're not going to be chayav. So isn't that chashav? You can be retired Tumas Mace with it. So he doesn't have an answer. He loses up the Tzarachim. So why are they picking such a large shear for this? The whole thing, the whole we've been talking about for 4 or 5 days already. Everyone had enough of this. We've been talking about chashivas. So if that's chashivas, so isn't that chashivas?
It has some functional use.
Right, so... It is a different shear. It's only cloth is a different shear. What's the shear? Three edge bows by three edge bows. Because you can make that into a patch. Right, we said that already, right? A poor person can make it into a patch. That's chashivas. So why isn't that the shear? So the Sfasem is losing, but Tzarachin doesn't have an answer. Okay, next. Next Gemara is not hard, even though it's going to sound hard. It's not hard at all. The whole daf is not hard. Okay. Cloth, we said that what's the shear for cloth? Can they lift over of Parsha Katana? To write a small Parsha, and we said it's about Parsha Shema Yisrael. So just, in order to understand the next Gemara, you need to know just one thing. When they take that hide off an animal, that hide, that skin is called gvil. And you could use that for cloth too. What we call cloth is really broken up into three different words. There's gvil, which is everything. Then what they would do is, they would slice the hide into two. The upper half is called cloth. The lower half is called duchsustus. And until the bottom of the page, the Gemara is going to assume, the Gemara thinks, that you can only use, or that the general convention is, that cloth, the upper half, you can only use for tefillin, and the bottom half, you can only use for mezuzah. This is what the Gemara basically thinks right now. So the cloth you can only use for tefillin, and duchsustus you can only use for mezuzah. Okay? So we just said now, cloth, could they lift up a love, parsha katana, for what? In tefillin. The Mishnah said that straight out. If you remember, the Mishnah had a line, duchsustus could they lift up mezuzah. And I said, we're not reading that line. Right? I'll come back to it. V'ruminhu, you just said now, that the shear for cloth is to the shear to write a parsha of Shema, the parsha of Shema Yisrael, which is the smallest parsha, v'ruminhu. But I have a brisa that says, cloth viduchsustus, cloth viduchsustus, kidelichtov olav mezuzah. And a mezuzah is longer than Shema. A mezuzah has Shema and v'hoyim Shema. So it's longer, it's a bigger shear now. So how are you going to answer this brisa? This brisa and the Mishnah, they don't make any, they argue on each other. Because the brisa says here, mezuzah. Mezuzah, Rashi reminds us, is two parshios. Right? And we just said the cloth is one parsha. Right? So the Gemara answers, my mezuzah. What does that word mezuzah mean in this brisa? It means mezuzah shebet tefillin. It means the mezuzah in the tefillin. It means the scroll. The scroll inside the tefillin, the smallest one. And what's that? Shema? Not a problem. So the Gemara says, Vakari lehu tefillin mezuzah. We were ever referred to tefillin as mezuzah, as a scroll, as mezuzah. We ever find that? The Gemara says, yes, you do find it. For Hatanya, this is Binichusa, and we learned in Abraisa, Ritzuos tefillin, that the straps of tefillin, im hatfillin, if they're connected to the tefillin, then Metamos es hayadayim. They will make your hands tame as a tumas yadayim. We had this in these were one of the 18 things that were gozer in the attic. That they made tuma. They made all kisvei kodesh to have tumas to make your yadayim tame because they didn't want you keeping it next to the truma where the mice are going to come, right? So they made it tame as a tumas yadayim. So this Bryson says not only the cloth of tefillin but even the straps as long as they're connected to the tefillin. But just stomp straps are not. But the straps, if they're connected to the tefillin, also are going to make your hands tummy too much yidayim. Bifnei atzman, but if the straps are alone, they're not connected, they're just in the sofer shop, they didn't connect them yet, then ein matama to say yadayim. They're not going to make him yadayim tamei. No, the straps are going to be tahar. Until you touch the box. The box is going to make, that's already going to make you die in tummy. The box, there were two, is not. Rabbi Zakkai and Shmo Omer, tahar, everything's going to be tahar. Your hands are tahar. Until you touch the actual scrolls inside the box. So you see here that the word mezuzah is used for tefillin. That's what you see. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. But if you look at the second half of this brisa, it says, cloth. What's the shear for carrying out cloth? Could they lift double up parsha katana shebet tefillin? Shehi shma Yisrael. So the second half of the brisa says tefillin and cloth. Michlal, the bereisha mezuzah atzma skinon. But the bereisha talking about mezuzah. Right? Which is a little difficult because the mezuzah says, the bereisha says cloth too. So the Gemara is going to answer that right now. So, but right now it's a stira. What's a stira? If you tell them mezuzah and the ratio means tefillin, then the sefer says tefillin straight out. But the ratio of the sefer says two things. So the Gemara says, no, hachi, ketani, this is what the brisa should be read. Klaf viduch sostus. We're now going to discuss klaf and duch sostus. Shiurin bekama. What's the shiurin for carrying them out? So the brisa says, well, duch sostus, if it's duch sostus, k'delech tov alav mezuzah. Right, the sotus is mezuzah, and if it's klaf, k'tilich tavolav parsha katana shebet tefillin shishma Yisrael, not a problem. Okay, everyone got that? Fine. Now, Amar Rav. Rav says the following statement. This has nothing to do now with Shabbos. It's all about tefillin and mezuzah. Duch sotus harehi kiklaf. Duch sotus has the same din as klaf. All Rav said. And we're trying to figure out, what did Rav mean? What did Rav mean? Okay? Rav meant, this has nothing to do now with Shabbos, we're off the topic, it's until the bottom of the page. What would Rav mean by that? That the sustus and klaf are the same thing. Ma klaf, kosvinal of tefillin. Just like klaf, that tefillin is written on klaf. Ah, so too, the sustus kosvinal of tefillin? You could like tefillin on the sustus also? Is that, what else could he have meant? But that can't be true. Tanan, because we learned, klaf, kidei lichtov alav, parsha katana shebet tefillin. That what our Mishnah said, that klaf is only used, that if you take out, what's the shear for klaf? The amount that it takes to write a parsha of tefillin. Now, the next line is Rashi says, klaf in duchsustus lo. The Mishnah didn't mention the word duchsustus. Klaf is, we're going to get to that in a minute. Klaf is more chashuv. Why is klaf? Because we're going to get to that in 1 minute. Hold that question. Whether klaf is more chashuv. But what the Mishnah is saying, what the Gemara is saying is, Rashi has this parenthesis in the text of the Gemara. Klaf in, the Mishnah only mentioned klaf, duch sustus lo. The Mishnah did not say anything, did not say boo about duch sustus. Therefore, you can't tell me that they're the same shear. Because if they were, if you could write duch sustus on tefillin, then the Mishnah would have said, klaf and duch sustus is the amount of writing a small parsha of tefillin. Sorry. I never leave my cell phone on. I don't know why it's on. We never have the same shear for duch sustus. Right? We never have such a shear. So, 1 second. We never have the same shear. So since the Mishnah didn't mention one word about duch sustus, it must be that not the same shear. That you cannot write duch sustus on, you cannot write tefillin on duch sustus, right? That's why the Mishnah. Okay, so Tosfos doesn't learn this line of the Gemara, and it's a whole different interpretation of the question. But we'll stay simple. So you see from here that Rav could not have meant that when duch sustus is the same thing as klaf, he could not have meant it regarding tefillin. He could not have meant such a thing. So the Gemara answers, no, he did mean such a thing, and only le mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. The best way of doing the mitzvah is to write tefillin on klaf. But ein achinami, you can write it on duch sustus. So the reason why the Mishnah only mentions klaf is because, Rashi explains, everybody tries to do mitzvahs in the best possible way. Everybody always tries to do mitzvahs, kihidura, in the best possible way. So nobody writes tefillin on duchsotos because that's not the optimum way of doing it. So the Mishnah is not even goyres that duchsotos can be written with tefillin because nobody does it that way because people try to do mitzvahs in the best possible way. That's why the Mishnah leaves it out. But ein hachinami, you can. So in that respect, klaf is more chashuv. That in that respect, because it's the better way of doing the mitzvah.
Yeah, the question was answered.
Exactly. So then the question is answered. It's two different levels. No, so it's a question of whether you should be goris them. So Rashi's goris it. Rashi says that's the kasha. The kasha is the Mishnah doesn't say a word about the chosdos. So it can't be that they're the same. So it's a question whether or not it should be goris. You have that all the time in the Gemara. Gemara will have a line. Should he be goris it? Right. The Gemara put it in. Tosfos said that the line should not be there because it doesn't help the question. The question is unrelated. The question is very different. Tashma, how can we say what we just said? Halacha l'moshe mitzinai. The halacha l'moshe mitzinai is tefillin al haklaf. Tefillin's got to be written on cloth. The hamezuzah al duchsostos. And mezuzah's got to be written on duchsostos. And we have a rule elsewhere that whenever something is halacha l'moshe mitzinai, it's ma'akev. Right? So, and not only that, one more thing. Klaf b'makom basar. We said klaf is the upper, when you slice the hide, klaf is the upper half of the hide. However, it has two sides. It has the top side and the underneath side. And klaf has to be written on the side that's closest to the basar, the underneath side. That's where you do the writing for klaf. And duchsostos is b'makom seir, the bottom half, but it has to be written on the side closest to the hair, meaning the top side of the duchsostos. So they're really written on they're both written on the same side. Right? One's on the top, one's on the upper, when you split them. They both be written in the same place. I don't know the deeper meanings behind all this, but that's the halacha l'moshe mitzinai. So, again, what do you see from here? You see from here that, is it at all ma'akev? You can't write tefillin on duchsostos, the halacha l'moshe mitzinai, only klaf. So the Gemara answers again, l'mitzvah. That's only the halacha l'moshe mitzinai only dictated to us, this is an unusual halacha l'moshe mitzinai, it only dictated to us the optimum way of doing something. From Iker Adin, you can. You can write it on duchsostos. Iker Adin, you can write tefillin on duchsostos. I bought Tanya, but we learned in a braisa, sheen apostle, if you change your apostle, if you change it's no good. No, that's on mezuzah, that's going on the mezuzah part. I have a braisa that says, bought Tanya, sheen abazeh ubazeh, apostle, if you change this or that, it's apostle. What's this or that? So the Gemara says, I did mezuzah. That's both going on mezuzah. How could that be? What's the this or the that? Both referring to mezuzah. Right? Tefillin we're not touching. Tefillin you can write on duchsostos. That's only the mitzvah you shouldn't. But with the evidence, okay. So what's the this or the that is no good? Mezuzah. What? Vaha, techesvinu al klath the makom seyer. If you wrote it on klath, but you wrote it for makom seyer. So you might think, that should be good. Why? Because duchsostos has to be written for mezuzah on the other side. And I'm really writing it on the same side. I'm writing in the same spot where you split it. So maybe that's good. Or inami aduchsostos b'makom basar, or you wrote it on the wrong side of the duchsostos, that's certainly no good. Those are the two cases where mezuzah is no good. Okay? So again, Rav is still okay. That what? That tefillin and duchsostos can be written on the same spot. Okay, you can write tefillin and duchsostos, that you can write klaf and duchsostos for tefillin. So therefore it's so good. The Ibai Thema, or I can give you another answer to this problem. Shina Bazeh Ubazeh, what's the halacha if you wrote them, maybe really one's talking about tefillin, and one's talking about mezuzah. You don't have to pigeonhole it to only mezuzah. And Tanoihi, it's a machlokas Tanoim, whether or not it's okay. The Tanya, Shina Bazeh Ubazeh Apostle, Rabbi Acha Machshir. Rabbi Acha's Machshir. And Rav says, and the Rashi says, Rav will hold like Rabbi Acha. That's not a problem. So you can write, so Rav's still okay. You can write tefillin on duchsostos, klaf harehu kud duchsostos, they're both the same regarding tefillin. Right? So Ravach is machshir, mishum Ravachi bar chanina, varmulei mishum Rav Yaakov bar chanina. Fine. That, it's machshir, it's okay if you did that mistake. And therefore, Rav is still okay. Rav Papa Omar Rav said, the Omar Kitana Debe Menashe. He said his shita like the following Tana Debe Menashe. The Tana Debe Menashe, kosva al hadayar, if you wrote it on paper, what's it? We'll see in a minute. If you wrote it on paper, or v'al hamatlis, or on a mat, psula, it's no good. Al haklath, v'al gvil, v'al duchsustus, But if you wrote it on kla or gvil, gvil's both, you never separated it, or duchsostos kshera, it's okay. So kus famai, what'd you write? What did you write in this? According to the Zvei Menashe, what was written here? Ilem mezuzah. If you're talking about mezuzah aklaf mikas vinan, you don't write mezuzah on klaf. There's no tana that allows such a thing. That can't be. We're going to say
you're not allowed to.
We're going to say in 5:1 that you are. That Rameh used to do it that way. Right now we're. No, you're not allowed. No, you're not allowed to. Whatever halachah moshu sinning, you're not allowed to. Why? I don't know. Why is klaf different? I don't know. You're not allowed to. So it can't be. He couldn't have been mentioned referring to mezuzah. Couldn't have been. Elalav tefillin. He must be talking about tefillin. So ul tameich tefillin agvil mikas vinan. Can you write tefillin on gvil? Certainly not. So someone want to be medayik, but the Gemara didn't say. Can you write mezuzah on gvil? So mezuzah you can write on gvil. What the distinctions are? I don't know. So, but tefillin, you can write tefillin on gvil. Of course you can't. Ela kitanyahi b'sefer Torah. That must have been talking about a sefer Torah. So Devei Menashe said, "There's no raya to Rav." Devei Menashe was talking about a sefer Torah. Sefer Torah could be written on all three. Not a tefillin. But now the Gemara says, "Leim emesayle." Let's try to bring a raya. The Mishnah starts off in Menachos by saying the Brisa starts off over there saying that you are allowed to change tefillin shel yad into tefillin shel rosh. Why? Because you're being malav b'kodesh. You can't change it the other way. You can't go from Shal Yosh to Shal Yad. Why are you being Malah B'Kodesh? Why does the Rosh have more Kedusha than the Shal Yad? Because the Shal Yad has, the Shal Rosh has, we say that when you wear the tefillin, you're wearing Hashem's name, Shakai. How do you get the Shakai? The Shin on the Rosh, the Dalet of the Rosh, and the Yud of the Yad. So the Rosh has more of Hashem's name than the Yad does. So the Rosh is considered more Kadosh. So you can change that way. You can take the parshios of the Shal Yad and stick them into Shal Rosh. But not the other way around. Kiyotzi bo, similarly, Tfilin Shabalu, if Tfilin got worn out, for Sefer Torah Shabalu, and Sefer Torah got worn out, ain't osin mehen mezuzah. You can't make them into mezuzahs. Obviously, the portion that you would want to make them into mezuzahs, that didn't get worn out. You can't make them into mezuzahs. Right? Why? Lefisha ain't moridin mi kedusha chamura le kedusha kala. Because you don't go from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. Taima. So the whole reason you can't do this is the Ein Moridin, because you don't go down in Kedusha. Ha Moridin, but if you could go down, Osin, there wouldn't be a problem. So what do you see from here? So now we're gonna develop the question about what it's written on, to ask a question on Rav. But before we go on, stop. So what are you doing here? You're taking the Sefer Torah, and you're making it into a mezuzah? How are you doing that? So Rashi says, right, one's in Parsha Veschanon, Shema's in Veschanon, and where's Mezuzah, and where's Vahayim Shema? It's an Ekev. So how are you doing that? So Rashi says that. No, you're taking the Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah now is in Pasul. So you want to cut out the Parshas of Shema and make a Mezuzah out of it.
But isn't Sefer Torah written on Klaf?
Because that's going to be the question.
Right.
That's going to be the question. But before you get to that question, he said, you can't do that because Ein Moridin B'Kedusha. But if not for Ein Moridin, it would be okay? That's the question. But how are you getting it from a Sefer Torah into a Mezuzah? How are you making that work? What are you doing? You're going to take, Rashi says, that Ein Mechatchin Mimena Yiriyah, you don't cut out the Parsha, B'Pshara Parsha, Shema B'Hayim Shema B'Socha, L'Kovim B'Mezuzah. You're going to cut them out and sew them back together? Tosfos Eth, you're not allowed to do that. We can take out a Parsha Shema from Parsha Veschanon, take out the Hayim Shema from Ekev and sew it together. You can't do that. So Tosfos answers, no, what you did was, you wrote Shema on the bottom of a column, you cut that out with the margin, and in the margin you fill in the Hayim Shema. There's a whole problem of order. Or Tosfos says, you have the Hayim Shema on the top of a column, and on the margin on top, you write the whole Shema. That's very difficult, no? Chassam Sofer said, listen to how you do it. You write Shema on the top of a column. On the rest of the column, you finish the entire Parashas Veschanan and the entire Parashas Ekev up to V'Hayim Shemoa. Then on the top of the next column, right, V'Hayim Shemoa, you cut out one piece. That's what Chassam Sofer says. Amazing. Why? You write very small. You can do it. And therefore, you have no problem with Rashi. You don't have to cut it up. You know, problems of out of order, whether it's Mafreya, whether one Parsha, one Pasuk, the whole Machlokes, the Parshas can be written out of order, but not Psukim. So, you know, sometimes you get avoid all that, all those problems. You just write very small for the rest of that column, and then you have no problem. The top of the next column, write Bahayim Shmo, no problems, you're all fine. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, if not for the fact of Ein Moridin, it would be okay. It would be okay. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Dechsiva Amai. What'd you write it on? Lav Dechsiva Aduchsustus? Wasn't it written on Duchsustus? Why? Because that's the only thing that tefillin can be written on. So the Gemara says, no, lo, Dechsiva ala Klaf. It was written on Klaf. So the Gemara says, Umizuza Aklaf Mikasvinon? Can you write that? Can you write Mezuza on Klaf? We've been saying all along you can't. So Gemara now says, yes, in you can. There is a sheet that says you can. The Vatanya, and this is Bini Chuso, we learned. Kasva ala cloth, if you wrote it on cloth, ala niyar, or on paper, ala matlas, pesula, or on a mat, it's no good. Amr B'Shem ben Elazar, Remeir haya kasva ala cloth. Remeir was a sofer, he used to write mezuzah on cloth. Why? Bepisha mishtameres. Because it preserves it the best. Cloth is the strongest. So it holds it the best. He would always write it on cloth. So you see, you can. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, hashtu da'asit lahachi, now that you're coming along and telling me that you can write a mezuzah on cloth, so l'rav nami, lo tamos, and now Rav is not a problem. Rav started off by saying, amar Rav, duchsustus haredi k'cloth. Now they tell me that you create a mezuzah on cloth, this whole half of Amid here was superfluous. Just say, lo tamos duchsustus haredi k'cloth, don't learn it as duchsustus is like cloth, el'eim would rather say, cloth haredi k'duchsustus. You must have heard Rav roar. There must have been said the other direction. That klaf is like duchsustus. Ma duchsustus calls for the love mezuzah. Af haklaf calls for the love mezuzah. No difference. That must be what Rav had meant. Okay, that ends today's Gemara. Tomorrow we have more about Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. We're almost done with all the Hatzah. And then we get into an entirely new topic. Today's shiur was learned to Ilan Ishmas, Moshe Eliezer, Ben Minyamin HaKohen.